We'd like to pay tribute now to the legendary author and poet Maya Angelou. She died this morning at the age of 86. Here is a clip of her reading part of one of her most beloved poems, Phenomenal Woman.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally.
With us to share more about Maya Angelou's remarkable life and legacy is Nikki Giovanni. She is a celebrated author and poet in her own right, and she was a friend of Maya Angelou's for more than 40 years. Welcome back to the program. I'm sorry this under such sad circumstances today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for inviting me. I must say, in all fairness, this Maya's passing is not a shock.
Oh.
And, you know, we've known that it's only been her phenomenal will, speaking of phenomenal, that has kept her active. Many a lesser person, you know, considering her health, it's not her age, but her health, would have given up. But Maya lived every moment. I've had to laugh recently that, and a couple of hours ago, I said, I don't know anybody, and I really don't, who has gotten as much out of life as Maya Angelou.
You know, speaking of it, she has such an amazing story. I mean, which she's written about. I mean, you know, born in 1928 in St. Louis, raised in St. Louis and mm-hmm. Stamps, Arkansas. She did not speak for much of her childhood mm-hmm. after she was molested and after the perpetrator was killed, and then became this amazing artist. I mean, the fact that people think of, like, the fact that she was the first African American woman member of the Directors Guild, right? The fact that she went overseas as a performer. When you think of her, what's the first thing you think of?
Laughter. That's the truth. Laughter. And she and I had we were not competitors in terms of poetry, but we were competitors in terms of food. And as you know, Maya moved here, and I'm saying here because it's the South, to Winston-Salem, and that's only a 3-hour drive, 2.5 if I was in a hurry. And I would go down, and she would have her people. She directed because she had a breathing problem, and so she would have, you know, Miss Chris or one of her people fix lunch. But she would say, you know, a little salt. They'd have to bring things to her, and I said to her, you know, You're better known and all of those things, but I'm a better cook, Maya. She said, you are not a better cook. And I took my friend Joanne Gavin, who is the director of Furious Flower Poetry Center. She's at, here in James Madison. And we went down and we made dinner for Maya. It was too funny. I mean, we had such a good time because, of course, Joanne makes this really great, it's called a blueberry buckle. And, you know, it's like a pudding. And so Maya was going to be polite to Joanne, and she was like, okay, Joe, this is really good buckle, Joe. But she said, Nick, I made a rack of lamb. She said, well, I think it's a little overdone. I had to laugh.
You know, one of the things you're speaking to, though, is her generosity. I mean, to many, many people. I mean, that's another word that comes up. And I was reading, you know, Facebook tributes, and I'm reading one from a man who had been sent to record her at her home, record her poetry. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how scared he was. And he went and he said he had one of the most inspiring and healing experiences of his life. He spent 4 days at her home because she wouldn't let him stay at a hotel. And she cooked every night.
Yeah.
Amazing cook. And actually let her direct her recording her own work. I mean, where did that come from?
I don't know. I think she had a difficult childhood at the beginning, and I think that the silence allowed her to absorb good stories because she really had an incredible ear, as you know. She spoke, what, 5 languages? Mm-hmm. And she could hear it, and she could absorb it and reproduce it. But I think she also recognized joy was important. I can't remember it. I've known Maya over 30 years. I don't remember her, you know, some people pettily gossip and things. I just don't remember her doing that. I've only heard her speak ill of one person, and that was well deserved.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to go any further with that.
Okay.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, because, you know, we're in a competitive business. But she's always been generous. We came down, we being Virginia Tech, I teach at Tech, and I brought a busload of kids down to see the Romare Bearden exhibit down in Winston-Salem. And she said, well, you have to come by. Well, I thought coming by that we would stop it by her house and sing a Christmas carol. It was doing just before the holiday season. So the kids and I, the young college students and I practiced, a Christmas carol. We were going to, we wish you a Merry Christmas and stand out in front of the house. But she had made lemonade and cookies, and she invited us in, and she told us stories. It was just wonderful. I mean, and she just did that. And I think that she always reminded, if I may use that term, she always reminded herself that joy is important. So she wanted to receive it, and the best way to receive it is to give it.
You know, I had the privilege of speaking with her a couple of times for this program. And one time I'm thinking of back in 2010, and here she is talking about writing, especially writing the truth. Here it is.
You know, there's a world of difference between facts and the truth. You can have so many facts that you don't deal with the truth. You never get to the truth. You have the places where, the people who, the times when, the reasons why, the methods how, blah, blah. And never get to the human truth. The human truth is as elusive as the air and as important as the air.
You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Being a poet, I couldn't agree more that there's a lot of difference between facts and truth, because there's an old, it's a mathematical problem, that we can prove that the arrow does not move. I don't know if they get that when you were in school. When I was in school, it was a mathematical problem. And we proved that though you can put the arrow in the bow and you let it go, we can prove that the arrow does not move, because a thing, as we know mathematically speaking, can only occupy one place at one time. So once we put the arrow in another place, it cannot move. It is actually not moving. It is occupying one place at one time. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, and that's what I think that Maya was talking about. And I think, again, that's her life. I mean, I just always appreciated the verve with she lived her life. She did everything 100%. Everything 100%. So that's a good thing. So if she fell in love, she got married. When she fell out of love, she got divorced, But I love that about her, because she wasn't always trying to justify something,
It's funny, to that end, and if you're just joining us, we are honoring the poet and activist Maya Angelou, who died today at the age of 86. We are speaking with the also renowned poet, writer, Professor Nikki Giovanni, who's offering her reflections. She was tough. I mean, her writing was very tough, and it's interesting how uplifting many people experience it, because if you think about it, she was writing about some things that a lot of people didn't talk about, like the being molested, for example, and also the struggle to get an education, and also some of the dynamics within her family that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily want to talk about, at a time when a lot of people did not write about those things. And she then, a couple of years ago, she donated her papers to the Schomburg Collection, and I asked her, I said, do you have any trepidation about your notes and your thoughts and revealing your thought process as you're crafting the work? And I just said, I don't know why I said this. I said, I'm not sure I'd want anybody to see my rough drafts of things before they appear. And she said, I don't have that kind of vanity.
Yeah, I think that's true.
She said, I have no modesty. Modesty is a learned affectation. It's just like a decal stuck up on a person.
I think she's pretty modest. I'm going to disagree with that. And I am fortunate. I know all of her people. And Maya's been in and out of the hospital, and I'm sure these records are going to show up. I'm not saying something that, is unknown. But you could call down and you could say, everybody called her Doc, what's Doc doing? And Lydia would say, Doc's, she can't come to the phone right now. She's getting her hair done, yak, yak, yak. And one of the reasons, she was in the hospital, but she didn't want to tell. And that's a modesty. She didn't want people feeling sorry for her. This is what I'm saying. And so she didn't, a lot of that, and a lot of the discomfort of her illness, she didn't share. She wasn't one of those people that's going to whine. As she said, if I'm alive, I'm I'm well, and if I'm not alive, then. But I have to say this, if I may.
Sure.
The one thing that I know Maya, if she could do it, would want is to know what's being said about her now in her death. I know if she could stand someplace and hear it, she would get the biggest kick,
How come?
Because we all want to, and I don't want to put something on. But you want to know what people say when they don't think that you can find out that they've said it. And we all love her, but writers don't ever feel that. I think actors are probably the most insecure people on earth, but writers come real close. And I know, and I think you could talk to anybody that knows her, that if there's one thing that we could do for her, just putting her on the spot so that she can hear what we're saying. You know, we did that with Toni Morrison 2 years ago. I went down to see Maya because Slade, Toni's son, died. And I said, we should do something, don't you think, for Toni? And she said immediately said yes. And what we did was actually, if I can use that word, we eulogized Toni. And we talked about what Toni meant to us, and we had a celebration here at Virginia Tech where we had everybody, we had a bunch of actors and actresses read Toni's words back to her. India Arie had written a song from Bluest Eye, you know, I'm Not Afraid of the Dark. I mean, we did all of that. So we did what we would have done if Toni had passed. And Maya was saying, wow, you know, that's what we would do if she passed. And so I heard that, and she's bigger than that, so there was no way that we could really put her with that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I know, and I'm smiling because I'm going to miss Maya, and we all are. But I know that if there was a way to just sit her on a cloud and let her hear, she would get the biggest kick. She'd just be sitting in that chair with a glass of wine, if it's 11 o'clock, a glass of white wine, and laughing and talking.
What would you like us to think about as we think about her today and going forward?
I think you have to think about her really great spirit. I just don't think, I mean, I love Phenomenal Woman. I love Caged Bird. She has really good cookbooks, too. You know, as I said, we're all foodies. But I think if I had a daughter, which I was not privileged, I have a son, though he could learn from that, too. But I would want to say to my daughter, you know, this is one of the great spirits. Maya had an embrace of life. And it's rare, you know. And even I like being alive, but even I don't come anywhere near this, that joy that she brought, that he woke me. There's an old Negro spiritual. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me. And I don't know anybody who thinks that but Maya. I mean, of all of the people that I know, I don't know anybody who has just that verve, that I'm alive. And as long as I'm alive, she used to say that all the time. I say, you know, and then you back her. Well, she says, you know, as long as I'm here, it feels good. And that's the way she's going to look at it.
All right. Well, Nikki Giovanni, thank you so much for speaking with us on this bittersweet day, let's say it that way.
It truly is.
Nikki Giovanni is an award-winning author and a poet, joining us with her reflections about Maya Angelou, who passed away this morning. And Nikki Giovanni, we reached her at her home in Virginia, where she's a professor at Virginia Tech. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you so much. And smile when you think of her.